How we do, Brother Joe? You like that? All right. Well, let's stand. We'll greet each other. Give the choir a chance to come down. Then we'll sing.
That we have used for centuries, seems like. I grew up using that book in the choir at our home church up in Michigan. And then every church I belong to, we've had that red hymnal. And so we ordered some and got them in this week. And so we're going to mix in a little of the old and a little of the new. Amen. I appreciate the good work Brother Tim does. Of course, some of these songs, even he's not totally aware of. But we're going to teach him to him. When he's doing his music, he's singing. When he does our music, he's singing. Amen. He's singing. So anyway, we appreciate the good singing tonight out of the old redback hymnal. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quickly, and I want Shelton to come up and give us a little report on our track ministry. And then we'll have Brother Tim come lead us in a song. Father, we love you, and what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord tonight on Sunday night. We thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for the Word of God, and I hope that it spoke to people's hearts. Lord, tonight's a new night and we need some fresh bread from heaven. And so I pray, God, that you'll bless us as we go finish up Romans chapter 10. And Lord, as we go through the book of Romans, help us, Lord, to understand all that God gave us. And even though the messages of Romans were given primarily to the Jew about the Gentile, Lord, help us to understand that that's us and that we have received the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us now as we go through the remainder of the service. Bless the singing, the special music, and the preaching of the Word of God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Shelton, come on here.
Ask Pastor, let me do this one more time. I keep giving out the tracks because it's amazing what God is doing. I believe He's working in our homes and in our lives, and He's working in me and allowing me to have more opportunities to give it out. And I'm sure He's done it for you. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I've heard of some people coming that I've never given out tracks before, never done it before until we started this challenge. And it's amazing to watch them continue to grow and continue to give out God's Word. So my challenge for you is to give out a track, one track, two tracks, three tracks, five tracks. Believe it or not, we've had some of the youth in church giving out 50 and 55 and 90 tracks a week. And it's amazing to watch that happen. But my challenge, if you give out one track, come and see me so I can write it down. One track. Two tracks. Come and see me so I can write it down. This is what we have right now. For the month of March, at the present time, it's 639 tracks for March. Amen. For this week alone, it was 368. And if you haven't given me the numbers, it's still going to go up tonight, I do believe. And right now at 1,800, and I think it was six since we started this first part of February. So keep giving them out. Might have visitors. We've had some visitors come just thought they got a track looking for a church. If you have given out one, come and see me. If you given out two, come and see. If you given out 100, amen, come and see me. Every track counts as a soul. Amen. So anyways, thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
All right, take a hymn. Those number 421. My sins are gone. 421 will give you an opportunity to find it. Everybody take a hymnal and sing with us. 421. All right, here we go. Let's sing together. You ask why I am happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone, and when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, that far removed their darknesses from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. How many of you were saved at an old-time altar? Raise your hand. All right, several people. How many were saved? I know Pastor was saved at a Christian camp. Anybody else? Okay, a couple of you. How about in a Christian school? How about in your family? Maybe a devotion time. Okay, and the rest of you, I'm not sure. No, no. All right, let's sing that second verse. 'Twas at the old-time altar together.
Before you start, move.
Uh-oh, I know what's coming.
Yep. We got to sang this one, all right? So let's do it the old independent Baptist way, all right? And hold that first word, all right?
All right, here we go. Ready?
'Twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil went in part. I say, my sins are gone. Because my sins are gone.
Let's do that chorus again. When we get to praise God. Don't sing it. Shout it out. All right. Amen. There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from God, in the sea of God, where gentleness is good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Good singing. You can be seated.
Amen. Thank you, congregation. All right, let me give you a couple of things real quickly here. Good to see Brother Gene and the Branhams, and the Branham grandchildren are here. And I heard that their parents were here in the States. The family was here. They had a little sickness, I think, this morning, had trying to battle with that. Brother Gene was the go-getter and fixer-upper, and but he got them all here. He looks like he's wore out, but he got them. Well, you know. And so you pray. We're glad they're able to be here. But their mother, dad, he's preaching. I actually heard him, Brother Wheeler, on the YouTube of Tabernacle at the Alumni Days. He preached, I think it was Tuesday morning. I believe it was a Tuesday morning service where I heard him and did a good job. I love Brother Lacey. He's a good preacher. He's a good man. You can always tell he is so sincere about what he's doing. He's our missionary down in Mexico. And so we're glad to have them here and to have the grandchildren here with us tonight. So you pray for them that they'll get over whatever sickness they've picked up. Continue to pray for Robert Aldridge at Richland Hospital, Fred Gardner at Northeast Hospital, Edward Wright, Frank Vandergrass having surgery on Wednesday, Martha Richardson having surgery later on this month, as well as Jenny Birchmore's having surgery tomorrow morning at 7:30. So she's supposed to be there at 7:30. I think the surgery's scheduled for about 9. And so you pray for her doing a little repair work. She's had to have a lot of tubes in her ears as a child, and it's left a hole in her eardrum that's not healed on its own. So they're going to have to do a little graft and maybe fix that up, and it'll prevent her from getting those ear infections that kids are always getting, you know. And so you pray for her. Hopefully that won't be too difficult for her, okay? So remember these folks in prayer, if you would. All right, Ryan.
Just the things we're doing this week. Tuesday evening is our midweek service this week. Not on Wednesday, but on Tuesdays. So you got to knock your routine around a little bit. But you put an alarm on your phone or something, and it will remind you to get up for church. 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening this week. And that's because of the wedding activities. The wedding, of course, is Thursday up at 6 o'clock in the evening up in Ridgeway. You ask the bride or groom or family if you have any questions about that going into Thursday, but we hope to see you all there for that wonderful occasion. Then Saturday, of course, men, we're going door knocking, our sewing Saturday, 10 o'clock meeting here at the church. Then we'll have a plan to go out in some neighborhood, knock on some doors, and tell people about Jesus. The number we've had lately seems to be kind of stagnant, or at least actually going down a little bit. So let's try to get that number to go up for the men that are going on Saturday, men.
Right.
So if you hadn't gone before, we'll show you the ropes. We won't throw you to the wolves or anything. We'll send you with somebody who has some experience, and you'll have a good time, I promise, and you'll be serving the Lord in the way He commanded us to. So remember those things, and just have a good time serving the Lord this week with Anchor Baptist Church.
All right, number 321 now. 321 will stand and sing the first and last stanzas of Sound the Battle Cry. 321. Together now.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is high, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon His holy word. Crowds and soldiers rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud.
Good singing. Thank you. Be seated.
Thank you, Brother Tim. All right, ushers, come on ahead. We'll take care of our offering tonight. And then when we're through, we'll go ahead and have our special. Brother Tim will introduce that to us. All right? All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering. And Brother Melvin, would you mind standing right there and praying for the offering, please? Thank you. Like Jesus. Well, right before Pastor comes tonight, Brother Steve is coming to sing for us.
Question, and if you're nice to him, Brother Tyndall, and talk to him the right way, well, sure you can. And I always ask, if you were to die today, and you could, couldn't you?
Right.
And they always answer, well, sure, anybody could, me or you. I said, all right, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And look, we talked to a lot of people, and very few of them, very few, say, yes, I'm sure. Well, if you were to ask me, I would say, yes, I am sure. I know I'm going to heaven. But when I get there, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do to get started. I'm just not real sure. And whatever it is, it'll be good. But this song talks about something I believe, if I don't do it first, I'm going to do it real, real soon after I get to heaven. Someday I shall stand in God's city to receive the bright treasures I've won. Oh, but how could I ever accept them until I thank Him for what He has done. When I thank Him for what He has done, I must look back to that crucified one. On that beautiful shore, I must kneel once more just to thank Him for what He has done. They say there will be no more sighing in that city when life's race is run. Oh, but how will I keep from crying when I thank Him for what He has done? When I thank Him for what He has done, I must look back to that crucified one. On that beautiful shore, I must kneel once more. There I'll thank Him for what He has done. And before I can shout hallelujah, and before I can sing that new song, I must kneel at the feet of Jesus, and I'll thank Him for what He has done. When I thank Him for what He has done,
has done. I must look back to that crucified one. On that beautiful shore, I must kneel once more just to thank Him for what He has done. Oh, when I thank Him for what He has done, I must look back to that crucified one. On that beautiful shore, I will kneel once more. There I'll thank Him for what He has done.
All right, thank you, Steve. Good song. Get your Bibles ready. We're back in Romans. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you, Steve. Romans chapter 10 tonight. We're going to finish out the chapter, Lord willing. I want to tell you something that happened today, and I asked my brother if I could tell it, and he said it was fine, so I'm going to. You know, my youngest brother been going to church, he and his wife trying to find a church to go to. They went last Sunday to a church, a young man I told you about that I taught in high school way back when. Said they really enjoyed it, went back both Sunday morning and Sunday night, which is unusual. And so after church today, when I got home, on the way, I went and picked up something for Junior and I to eat. And on the way back, I called him. It was about 12:30, so I said, I guess they'd be out of church by now. So I called him, and he answered the phone. And I said, are you out of church now? And he said, yeah, I'm driving in our driveway. And first of all, these conversations are so much different than they used to be. I mean, you know, just to even be talking to him about church is like unbelievable. Now, don't know if he's saved yet or not, and we're just trusting the Lord that he'll get somewhere to hear the God. And he's heard it twice. Both times he told me, he said, I like the preaching. He said, the preaching's been good. Well, anyway, so I assumed that he had gone to the church he went to, but no, he said, no, we tried another church close by, and it's called Providence Baptist Church in Waxhaw. Little old church, probably about the building, probably one-third of the size of this building. I mean, it's very small, have about 30 people. And my pastor, I called him, he told me that the pastor's name there was Johnny Cassida. Well, I didn't recognize the name, didn't have any idea, so anyway, I didn't think much of it. So Jeff told me, he said, BJ and I went to Providence. I said, is that right? He said, and the pastor there knows you. And I said, he knows me? He said, yeah, he's heard you preach. And he even named a message. He heard me preach somewhere. Jeff couldn't remember it. And I said, well, Jeff, I said, if I know him, I said, I may know him by his face. I said, but I don't know the name. It's just not familiar to me. And I said, well, how was the service? He said, oh, it was great. He said, had about 30 people. He said, one thing I noticed, that my brother is a Second Amendment man. I mean, he believes in guns. I mean, guns, guns, guns. And he said, when we walked in, I noticed about five of the fellers in that church were open carrying pistols on their hip. I said, I bet you like that. He said, well, that kind of helps me a little bit. And so anyway, just a little country church. And so he said when we went in, everybody's real kind. And so I went and introduced myself to the pastor, and I told him my name. He said, oh, you're Rick Kirchinger's brother. Well, that's the first time that's ever. Usually I'm Judy Kirchinger's husband. But somebody actually connected to me. And he said, I know your brother. And he said, man, I'm glad to have you. Well, make a long story short, he told me about the preaching, said it was great, said he really enjoyed it. And so then he said this. He said, and you'll never guess what that pastor did. And I mean, before I could think twice, I said, he asked you to close in prayer, didn't he? And he said, he sure did. And I started laughing. I mean, he said, I appreciate the support. I said, no. I said, I hate that. Here's what he told me. He said, I haven't been to church in 18 years. He said, I haven't darkened the door of a church except yours a couple times for 18 years. He said, I want Brother Kirchinger's brother Jeff, to close in prayer. He said, I know that pastor saw my eyes get real big like that. And BJ, his wife, started giggling. So, you know, everything was set up for real prayer time. And anyway, he said, and then the pastor referred to something they had going on this week. And so while he was talking about it, Jeff said, I thought to myself, there's got to be another Jeff in this building. He must be going to call on him. He said, and then before I knew it, he said, we were about three rows back in this little church, only held about 40 or 50. Said, he come down, pointed his finger right at me. He said, Brother Jeff, dismiss us in prayer. I started laughing. I said, what'd you do? He said, what else could I do? I prayed. And I said, well, what'd you pray? He said, I don't even remember. He said, I just prayed. He said, that's the first time anybody's ever asked him to pray out loud in public, ever. And he tickled me. He said that after he got done praying, before the service, he noticed there. And I mean, this is how long he's been out of church. He said, I was looking at that little piece of paper that they tell you stuff on. He said, what's that thing called again? I said, a bulletin. He said, that's it, a bulletin. And he said, I noticed it said Sunday morning and Wednesday night. He said, but I didn't see a Sunday night service time, so I'm not sure if they have Sunday night service. And so they were looking at, you know, and B.J. Tobes said, well, I reckon they don't have Sunday night service. So while he's praying, of course, he's praying whatever he remembered over the years. And at the end, he said, and Lord, bless us as we come back tonight at the next appointed hour. And by that time, B.J. Pope said, they don't have a Sunday night service. He said, man, not only was I scared to pray, he said, I'm praying for stuff they don't even have. Amen. So that's the longest pseudo-spiritual conversation, you want to call it that, that he and I have had in our lifetime. That's the truth. But he said, if they do have service tonight, we're going back. He said, I promised the Lord I'd go back to church, and I'm going to go. He and the pastor were the only two that had suits on. And so I guess the pastor must have figured, since I'm a preacher and he's my brother and he's wearing a suit, then he must be a preacher. And who knows, God may call him to be one. Well, no, I guess he can. They've got some issues about qualification. But the point is that he actually, although we laughed about it and cut up a little bit, it was an exciting conversation, and it was even exciting on his end. I mean, under normal circumstances, he would have walked out of that building and never came back. He'd have just left. He said, I didn't do that. He said, I just prayed. I said, did they record that service? He said, no, doggone it. Because I'd sure love to have heard that prayer, I'm telling you. But anyway, you keep praying for them. They're really sincere. My brother's one of these that, if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. If he says he's not, he's not. He doesn't fudge. He doesn't lie about it. He'll tell you the way it is. And so he told me. He said, Rick, He said, I told the Lord and my wife that I'd go back to church, and I'm going back. He said, I'm going to find one. He's got one more to visit somewhere nearby, one to get close by. And so far, the two he's been to, both have preached the King James Bible, both independent Baptist churches. And in fact, he knows the one pastor, the first church, the one I taught in school. And so that was a real draw for him, because there were people in that church that he knows from years ago. He said many of the folks in that church knew me when I was out in the world. And there was a time when he was really out there. And so now those folks are in church and saved. And so that's a bit of a draw for him. And so I'm really praying that the Lord will save him. Or at least if he says he's saved, he made a comment today. He said, I know that he was calling on someone that he thought had made a profession of faith. And I was waiting for him to say, and I haven't. He didn't say it. But he recognizes that that's necessary. And so we're going to see how that goes. I'm really looking forward to the day when I get a call. Called my pastor and told him, Brother Bobby Leonard's been praying for Jeff for years and years and years. Gone to see him years, and in fact, I told Judy, I said, if he does get saved, it would not surprise me, nor would it hurt my feelings, if he called Pastor Leonard first. Listen, if he gets saved, I don't care if he don't ever call me. I'll find out. And then about that time, you know, Judy spoke up and said, well, you reckon about the time he was praying, the Lord called your dad over and said, Ted, you want to hear this? You better get over here. You're going to want to hear this. And so it's fun. You ought to hear, if you heard him tell it, I tell you, he'd tell a story, he tells stories like Tim does, only Jeff's stories are true and Tim's aren't. But I tell you, it's a joy to my heart just to have a 20-minute conversation with my brother about church. and the things of the Lord. So there you go. Let's just pray. Romans chapter 10, we're going to pick up in verse number 14, if we can. Last week, we talked about Israel's reason for their rejection of the Messiah. And we find that reason here in chapter 10 and verse 2 and 3, if you want to look back there just a moment, where the Bible said, Paul said, I bear them record that they, talking about the Jews, have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They had a false sense of duty. They thought they had to serve God through the law. And Paul, of course, remember, said when he was wreaking havoc in the church that he thought he was doing God a service, when of course he wasn't. But that's because he didn't have any knowledge, and he's referring to that. He's using himself even, thinking of his own testimony. Verse 3, for they, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now remember, the Jews believed in what was called works righteousness, the law, keeping the law. But there's only two kinds. There's works righteousness, which is not, that's the filthy rags that Isaiah spoke of. And then there's faith righteousness, and that's what gets a man to Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. You get righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible said, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about, and here it is, the establishment of their own righteousness. That's the reason they rejected Christ as Messiah. Because they thought they had their own righteousness, that they could serve God through the law and going to the tabernacle or going to the temple or going to the synagogue and giving to the poor and all of those things that are all good things. But those are good things that Christians do after they get saved, not in order to get saved. And so that is then, he said, to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So that is Israel's rejection of the Messiah. That's the reason they rejected God, because they were doing it themselves. And by the way, the application there is simple. You and I were the same way. We rejected the saving grace of God because of our pride, because of our own sense of self-worth. And that's why the Bible said all of our righteousness, not some of it, not parts of it, but all of our righteousness is filthy rags. And so that's the reason for Israel's rejection. Then we get down to verse 13, the great verse of Scripture that I've used many times to finally lead that person to Christ. For whosoever, boy, that really got the Jews on their ear, because they believe that they were God, and they are God's chosen people nationally, but they believe that nobody else could be included. But we're getting ready to find out, thank God, that there are others included in that, called the Gentiles. So when Paul wrote, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, that got some to Christ, but got many of those Jews sideways. They began to reason among themselves that this man is a heretic. This man is preaching something that's not right, when in fact, he was preaching the only thing that was right. Now we get to verse 14. To the end of the chapter, in verses 14 through 17, here we find the remedy for rejection. What can you do to overcome it? And then verses 18 to 21, we find the results of rejection. What happens if you continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's go to verse number 14 if we can. Let's pray first. Father, open up the Word of God to our hearts, I pray. Help this, Lord, not to be just a boring time. Lord, any time we can open up God's Word and look at it and study it, Lord, it's a joy and a blessing. It ought to be. And so I pray that we'll study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Bless the Word of God to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have verse 13, of course, reveals the formula for eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thought about that coming over here, actually going home this afternoon. I told you I talked to my brother. Well, in my car, you can push a button and it has hands free, so you can call them. You don't have to use your cell phone as long as it's in the car with you. And it's a much safer way to go. And so I was riding down the road and I pushed the little button. And it said, bing. And I said, hands free. And it said, go ahead. And I said, call. And it said something unusual when Bethany helped me set this thing up. It said a calling through OnStar. Well, I don't have OnStar. I didn't sign up for it. I don't have it. And so I called out the name, and it said 260. That's all it said. And then it said, you don't have enough minutes to make the call. And so I said, cancel. I tried it again. This time it said 270. And then it said, you don't have enough minutes to make the call. I thought, what in the world's going on? I had my phone with me. So it's supposed to be that Bluetooth thing, you know. So when I stopped to get our lunch, I pulled my phone out in the parking lot, and I noticed that the Bluetooth was off. Well, it has to be on. At least I know that much. And I pulled it up, and I wasn't sure how to turn it on, so I just poked at it. And it said connected. So on the way home, I pushed the little button. It said ding. I said hands free. It said go ahead. I said call. Call from Rick's phone. I said I'm in. Yeah. You understand? Hey, if I tried to do it the wrong way, I could do it all I want, and there's no result. I push the button. I can talk into the hands free. It'll even talk back to me, but it'll finally tell me, you can't do it that way. Then I got the right way, the only way for it to work, and it said, go ahead. Amen. That's exactly what verse 13 tells us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's having it turned on, shall be saved. It'll say, Jesus will say, go ahead. Amen. I like that. I sure do. Now, verse 14, though, says this. Notice now, we're in the remedy for the rejection of Israel as a nation, the Messiah. The Bible said, how then, now remember, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then the next question is, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? I can't use my hands free unless I put numbers in the system. Now, some of them will do it automatically. Mine doesn't. And so I can say somebody, one of your names into that system all day long, and it'll say, can't place the call because your number is not. Now, it's going to be. I'm working on it. But right now, some of your numbers are not in the system. Now, if you call me, I can answer you. But I can't call you because your number is not in the system yet. And so the Bible said here, how shall they call upon him in whom is not in the system? How shall they? Hey, if they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, why would they bother calling on him? You know why I don't call some of you in the car? Because I don't have your number in there yet, so why bother? All it's going to say is, can't do it. So I don't bother. Well, you know what? Many folks treat Jesus, the Jews, treated Jesus exactly the same way. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. After all of these years, after 60 years after his death, they still didn't believe he was the Messiah. And so they would not call on the name of the Lord. Paul said, how shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? Listen, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Listen, it's wrong for us. You ready? It is wrong for us as a New Testament Baptist church that believes in soul winning to assume that everybody out here has heard about Jesus. Here we are in the Bible Belt. Here we are close, Greenville, South Carolina was always considered the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're just 2 hours away from the buckle itself. But we cannot assume, and we have found out in our door knocking, that everybody has not heard about Jesus Christ. And so we cannot then assume that if everybody's at least heard once, then I guess it's up to them. Because there are people around us right here that hadn't even heard the first time. And that track you give out might be the way that they hear. Or us knocking on a door may be the way that they hear. Or ready? You inviting somebody to church and get them under. Listen, if you're, do you believe they'll get the gospel here? You believe that? Then get them here. Now, if we weren't preaching the gospel, you couldn't make that statement. And you shouldn't have to. God would not be pleased with it. But we preach the gospel. gospel here. We teach the gospel in Sunday school. We sing the gospel in the choir. We sing the right kind of music. We try to give the gospel every way we can. They cannot hear it if they're not within earshot. I preach my brains out tonight. But if we don't have an outside speaker system, the folks across the street are not going to know what we're doing in here. Y'all with me tonight? And so Paul is asking these questions. He's giving the remedy by giving them the opportunity to answer the question. How can they call upon someone that they don't believe on? He said, and how can they believe on someone if they've never heard of him? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, the word preacher there is not the word that you would think of your preacher or pastor. This word preacher means witness. Witness. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but it does not mention that it must come from a minister or a pastor or a missionary. It means that they can hear by anybody who is willing to give the message out. And so how can they hear without a preacher? God, the Bible said that God chose the foolishness of preaching. Now, we like to sort of compartmentalize that as preachers, and we'll preach that in our pulpit and say, well, bless God, that's why I'm preaching, because I want them to know about you, and that's right. But listen, it's not that word is the same word here, does not mean just someone who preaches in a pulpit. It means any Christian who wants and will be a witness for Jesus Christ. So here's the remedy. Here's the sequence. You know, when you get sick, there's a certain way to get better. There's certain things you'll do. And if you get medication from the doctor, it'll say, take one pill a day for 10 days. It might say, take it in the morning. It might say, take it in the evening. It might say you have to have food with it. You don't want to have this, or you need to have that. In other words, they give you the instructions for you to get better. Now, and every time, now I've never been this way. If I get a medication, like an antibiotic, and you know they'll tell you, take it all till it's gone. That's what I do. I take it till it's gone. Even if I feel 100%, if I got a pill left, I take it. Now, I'll be honest with you, there have been times when I started to feel better, had some pills left, and I thought, well, I'll just save these, and when I get sick again, I'll take them, and it'll keep me from getting sick. Well, here's the problem. The doctor will tell you, if you do that, you're going to get sick again. Because if you don't kill that virus or that bacteria all the way, then it's just going to come back. Right? They give you instruction how to take it. And if you don't take it the right way, you just about bank on, you're not going to get well. Well, here's Paul saying, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here are the instructions. Now, he asked in the form of a question, but I think he's being plain. The sequence here. Notice in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, it's a verse I quoted a moment ago, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now that's important. I'll show you something in a moment. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying or denying people. So here Paul really gets to the heart of this matter here. He's already told the Jews at the church at Rome, why it is that they've been why they've rejected the Messiah. And I'm talking about those that are not saved. Jews are not saved. Listen, every church, I don't care who it is, and this one included, we have people that come into this church on a regular basis who are not saved. Right? Sure we do. Sure we do. For a while, I was going to church, not saved. My wife went to church, not saved. Shelton was going to church, grew up in a preacher's home, not saved. I'm telling you, folks, we cannot assume anything. And so, what is Paul doing? He's giving the remedy for rejection. Let me give this to you quickly tonight. Notice the sequence here in verses 14 through 17. Number one, a preacher is sent. Somebody's got to go and tell it. Whether it's through tract ministry, preaching ministry, nursing home ministry, door knocking ministry, just be living for Jesus on your job or in your neighborhood or with the circle that you run with. There's always a way for people to be what we'll say a preacher, a witness, a testimony. Then what does he do? He preaches the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, Israel has rejected the word of God. Oh, they accept the Old Testament, but they will not accept the New Testament. And the New Testament is simply the Old Testament revealed. What they need is written in the New Testament. But isn't it amazing again, and I'll point these out in a moment, how that Paul, throughout his writing here, goes back to Old Testament scriptures, quotes Old Testament scriptures to remind those Jews that what he's telling them is not something new. That they've known it all along. They just rejected it. Notice what it says now. For preacher is sent, he preaches the word. The sinner hears the word. Talked about that this morning in the message. How in that parable, that Mary of Bethany was the sinner, but so was Simon the Pharisee. Anytime the word of God is present, it's there for two reasons. To edify the saint and convict the sinner. So he hears the word, then the sinner believes the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith is the object or the way that a man believes. But it just because they hear it doesn't mean that they get it. I heard the word for a long time, 5 years that I heard the gospel message. And it took 5 years to get it, to hear it. Like Brother Steve said this morning in Sunday school, a lot of folks hear it, they're just not listening. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what they do now? They make a special kind of hearing aid that you put in your ear so that you can focus on what someone's saying, and it kind of does something, and I'm not sure how it works, but it cuts away the peripheral noise. Because anybody that wears a hearing aid or has hearing problem, that's the issue, is that they have a hard time focusing or concentrating on what's being said because the surrounding noise jumbles what's being said. So man is trying to fix it so that you can somehow, with some kind of little machine, a little object, cut out all the peripheral noise so you can focus on what's being said. Well, let me tell you something. That's what this does. This is God's hearing aid. Amen. You know, there's a lot of folks that will sit in church and hear this, but they're not listening. You know why? They're already thinking about what they're going to do after church. They're already thinking about rushes or a cookout or whatever. Or they're already thinking about, well, I got to go to work tomorrow. They're thinking about appointments and schedules and conflicts. And why? Listen, even I went to Brother Ed Shaw. And I said, Brother Ed, what are you doing Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock? He's going to help me do something. Well, that's 2 days away. Brother Ed, we might be in heaven for that. If we are, don't worry about that 10 o'clock appointment. We'll let somebody else keep it. Amen. But see, that's what I'm saying. The preacher must be sent. He or she must preach the word, and I mean witness. That sinner hears the word. That sinner believes the word. And then that sinner calls upon Christ. Says nothing about joining the church. Says nothing about being baptized. Says nothing about signing a card. Got to get saved. You got to believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then the rest comes later. And then, of course, the sinner gets saved. Now, you know what? That's just about as simple as you can put it. I mean, Paul broke it down just simply as he could. But man gets saved by the Word of God. So the rejection was their own righteousness. The remedy is always going to be, folks, the Word of God. The remedy for a sinner to be saved is the Word of God. The remedy for a saint who is having problems and a bad relationship with God must get back into the Word of God. If you're not going to spend time in the Word of God, I can promise you, you're not going to have a good relationship with God. I can tell you that now. We've got people right now who are kind of drifting. And I know why. And I'm going to contact them. I'm going to tell them why. And you know what they'll say? First they'll say, no, that's not it. And then after about 10 minutes they'll say, yeah, that's it. When a man's away from God, I promise you, the main reason is because they're not reading their Bible. And they're not praying. That's right. If they're having marriage trouble, I promise you the main reason is not reading their Bible. Oh, yeah. Now, I didn't say there couldn't be problems in every marriage. I don't care who you are and how spiritual you are. Satan's always going to work that wormhole. But I tell you, the best way to get around is to pray and seek the Word of God. Yeah. And so we find here, now look at verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that. So what does Paul do? Paul's trying to reach his crowd. So what does he do? He goes back to the Bible. Now you'll remember, we are reading a letter that is now canon of Scripture. It's part of the Word of God. But back then, they didn't know that. Not really. And so Paul sent this letter to the church at Rome. It's just like us getting a missionary letter. And we read it. Well, we read it. We're interested in it. We want to see what's happening. But then after that, then we get another one and we go on from there. But this is there's more to that than this, you see. And we have the great privilege of being able to say we got it all right here. So they hear the Word of God. But go back to verse 15 for a moment. Because here is Paul in his wisdom, of course, through the Holy Ghost, preaching to these Jews. And of course, they're not paying attention to the New Testament anyway, not realizing really that this is part of that New Testament. So what does Paul do? He refers back to what they do know, the Old Testament. Verse number 15, he uses this Old Testament scripture. Turn to Isaiah 52. Isaiah, he says Esaias. When you see that in the New Testament, that's the name Isaiah. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 52. Page 760, if you have a Schofield Bible. I should have let you find it first. I'm trying to let everybody find their books in the Bible now so that they can learn the books of the Bible. Isaiah 52, and look with me at verse number 7. Isaiah 52 and verse number 7. Well, look at verse number 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Wait a minute, preacher. Are you telling me that God spoke to them audibly? No, because look at the next verse. Here's how he did it. He did it then the same way he's doing it now. And that's why Paul in the New Testament, in encouraging the saints to get out here and tell folks about the Lord, and those Jews that were saved but still relying on maybe their own righteousness, to get out here and tell about Jesus. And notice, he quotes verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth what? Boy, that's the best thing of all, ain't it? I mean, you can tell a good story from a pulpit, and I can tell you that story about my brother, and man, it might even excite you just a little, not as much as it does me, but that's not going to get you to heaven. You got to publish something called salvation. That's what it says here. They publish salvation that saith unto Zion. And who's Zion? That's Israel. Thy God reigneth. He's reminding them that the Old Testament prophets told them that salvation was accessible and givable to the Jews. And Paul's simply referring back. And you know what? They couldn't deny that it was in there. Because they learned it their whole from the time they were old enough to read and write. Those little Jewish kids were taught over and over what the Old Testament had to say. They were taught the law of Moses. They were taught much of what the prophets said. And so they knew that what Paul was quoting was right. And you know what it was? The Word of God. because Isaiah was in fact canon of Scripture to the Jews in their Torah, which we later use as part of our translating into the, what we call the New Testament, an Old Testament. They knew it, and they recognized that Paul knew what he was talking about. By the way, can I make an application right here? If you're going to win anybody to the Lord, you better know what you're talking about. Number one, if you're not living what you're preaching, you're not going to win anybody. If you're not walking the walk or just not talking the talk, you're not really going to win anybody, are you? And by the way, when you get them interested, now what? Can you give them God's Word? Because the Bible said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Can you give them the Word of God? You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure I can. You need to learn it. You need to scope it out. Listen, in this day and time, you don't even have to sit down and for hours try to figure out the Romans Road. Go on the internet, just type in Romans Road. Somebody will tell you the verses that's there. Mark them in your Bible, read them, memorize them, so you know what to tell somebody. But there's more to it than that, too, because many times before you can get them to salvation through the Word, they may have questions. Now, I'm not talking about vain babbling and, you know, well, really? You believe in that? I had a guy tell me this one time, you really believe that God is that big? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, is he so big he can't make a rock? He can make a rock he can't lift? That's vain babbling, folks. That's just dumb. Listen, I don't want to go to hell worrying about if God can make a rock he can't lift. And I'm telling those folks in hell, if they could hear what I just said, would yell out, that's stupid! Amen. I know stupid is not a good word these days, but it fits. I tell you, you'd be surprised how politically incorrect people in hell are trying to get people to recognize that what's going on down there is real. So what do we have? We have then that Paul is referring to Isaiah 52, speaking about the beautiful feet of not only those who were witnessing and will witness, and we've been talking about this in the Sermon on the Mount, the kingdom of heaven, that's the millennial kingdom. And of course, Isaiah was a prophet concerning the restoration of Israel. But the application, as I said, is still there. He was talking to the Jews. Paul is speaking to the Jews. But we certainly can make the application, and I believe it's true. If you go out and tell somebody about the Lord, hand out a tract, just do anything to try to get the gospel out, I believe God will look at your feet as beautiful. And that's weird, because I'll tell you, I got ugly feet. Nobody would look at my feet and say, aren't they beautiful? In fact, if I took my feet, you'd say, oh! That's all right. That's all right. When I get done tonight, it doesn't matter what you think about my feet. When God sees them, He says, those are beautiful feet. Because they're getting the gospel out. When we go out Saturday, knock on doors, I'm telling you, every time you walk up that driveway, and you know, I've tried to pick some new neighborhoods, but I've been finding neighborhoods with slanted driveways. Brother Tim told me, he said, preacher said, man, I think you can do better than this. I'm telling you, it about killed him, about killed me, and his knees are bad. At least my knees aren't bad, but I'm telling you, it about killed me. But you know what? You get a little sweaty, you get a little tired, and somebody say, man, why bother? Because God says, those are beautiful feet. Brother Tim, he says, those are beautiful knees. Because what you're doing is beautiful. And it's the only hope for a lost and dying world. Well, let's go on. You'll notice also Israel's attitude then and now. And he refers to it right here. He said, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's Isaiah 53, verse 1. In fact, let's go over there so you can see it. So you don't have to take my word for it. Isaiah 53 and verse number 1. Preached a message on this some years ago. Isaiah 53, verse 1. It's page 760 for time's sake. He said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know what's wrong with people today? They don't believe the report. Brother Steve, you know why folks don't get saved knocking on doors? They don't believe the report. You know why they come to church and don't get saved and leave? They don't believe the report. They don't recognize that the arm of the Lord has been revealed unto them. You know why? Because they're too busy submitting themselves to their own righteousness. They are measuring themselves against God, and for whatever reason, it's got to be a dark mind that would ever conclude that they're doing better than God could do for them. When they try to put their works and their life and their righteousness, and Isaiah knew that. He saw that, and he said, hey, before you get mixed up in all that, you need to know that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. They're not except, in fact, they go in the trash can. My wife gets mad at me, and she does many times, because she'll have some nice hand towels or washcloths. I go outside and say, my car's dirty. I look around for a rag, can't find one, so I grab the first thing I can find. Oh, yes. That's what he says. Boy, I'll wipe her down and throw it in the washing machine. Hope she'll throw something on top of it and wash it. But, of course, like any good wife who catches you doing anything wrong, before she throws anything, she looks in there and says, where'd this come from? Now I have to give her an answer. Who hath believed our report? And buddy, when she nails me for using one of her good claws, then to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. I'm telling you, buddy. She'll say, don't do that. I mean, she's very kind, she's a sweetheart. Please don't do that. She might do it if you're there. I wish you were there more often. Say amen right there. Yeah. But that's what Isaiah said. Who's believed our report? Nobody. Who's the arm of the Lord been revealed to? Everybody. But they just won't listen. But that doesn't mean we can quit. That doesn't mean we can quit. Just as Israel turned away in unbelief in Jesus' day. In fact, turn to John chapter 12. Wait a minute. Try that again. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, page 1131, because we've got to hurry along. John chapter 12, and look with me at verse 37 and 38. John chapter 12, verse 37 and 38. Look at what the Bible said here. After Jesus had done many wonderful miracles, he said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which spake, Lord, who hath been... See, even Jesus in his own ministry recognized the power of the Old Testament. And here the writer John writes, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. So you see, it's always been Israel's great honor to be able to believe in the Messiah. And they have over and over and over rejected him. Well, now look what happens as we close out the chapter tonight. All of a sudden we find out that because they've rejected, there's another group that gets a shot at it, that got and is still getting a shot at it, and we're sitting in this room right now. Go back to Romans and let's close it out real quickly. The Bible said, verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily they have heard. You see, Paul quotes here now. Notice, he said, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the end of the world. He is quoting or paraphrasing Psalm chapter 19 and verse 4. Look there with me quickly. Psalm 19 and verse number 4. Page number 607 in your Bible there, if you have Schofield. Psalm chapter 19, and look at verse number 4. Notice what the Bible said. It says, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now, you know what that phrase, end of the world, means? Every inch. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Now, we send out missionaries because we cannot go. And they will tell you that there are places, and even in the countries where they minister, that do not have a gospel witness. But according to the Word of God, Romans chapter 2 says, thou art inexcusable, O man. You know why? Because, listen, God made sure that... Let me ask you a question. I'd probably ask you, this is a logical question. If they don't know anything about religion or God or anything, if they don't have that in them, then who taught them to make totem poles and idols of wood and worshiping rocks? Where did they get that from? They got it from somewhere. I'll tell you where they got it. They got it from God. God put it in man to know those things. Now, what they do with them is quite the other story. But here, the psalmist said in that verse, the line has gone out through all the earth and the words to the end of the world. In them, not around them, not in front of them, in them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. The light. All, you know what people need? You know, Brother Steve told, and I so agree with this. Boy, after you told, I can't wait to meet an atheist. Since he told the story, I haven't met one yet. Or at least I hadn't said anything. Because he told a story about meeting an atheist, and he said, no, you're not. Now he said, well, that's not very nice. He said, no, you're not. He said, tell me what happened. He told a story of how he got hurt in religion, and so he decided he was an atheist. But he's not really. He just got hurt. You know why? There's no such thing as an atheist. Now, they may be an atheist. They may not trust in a divine being or in our God, as it were. But nobody can say they didn't know. Because the Bible said the line has gone through the whole earth, every square inch. Did you read that with me? Y'all look like, wait a minute now, preacher, you're kind of stretching. Did you not read that with me in God's Word? Did not Paul quote that to those very Jews who did not? It's not that they, listen, you ready? It's not that they didn't hear the report. The question was, who hath believed our report? Amen. And you know, so you know what God does? He calls us to go out and tell, we're God's hearing aids. And we want folks to focus on the gospel, so we try to cut out all that peripheral stuff, all that religion and all that contemporary music and all that wham, bam, thank you, ma'am stuff. And we want to focus them on, we knock on the door, when they answer, we say, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? But that cuts out all the peripheral stuff, don't it? That's what we're to do. And so we find then that Paul, quoting that Psalm 19, says that it's reached around, so Israel is without excuse. Let me close. Verse 19 to 21, here's the result of that rejection. The result of that rejection. But I say, did not Israel know? Sure they did. Why? Because Moses said it first. I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. That's Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. Again, Paul is quoting Old Testament Scripture, not only to show that he knows what he's talking about, but to prove to those Jews in the audience that they don't have an excuse. And then he says, and Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. What's he talking about here? Turn to Isaiah 65, and here's where I'm going to get to, and I'm stopping. I'm going to close right here. I want you to turn back to Isaiah. Now, this is the Old Testament, remember? The Old Testament that was written to the Jews. It was written to the Jews. But wait a minute. God in His Word and in His wisdom always knew when to include other messages. And we turn to Isaiah chapter 65, and that's page number 769. Look at verse 1 and 2. Here's the passage that Paul is quoting. He said, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. Guess who he's talking about here? Guess who that Old Testament prophet to the Jews is referring to? Somebody tell me. The Gentiles. A nation, he said, and I love the way God gave this to Isaiah. Behold me! Behold me! That's what we ought to be telling folks. Behold him! It's all about him! It's not about us. It's not about Anchor. It's about him! We are what we are by the grace of God. It's about Him. And He said, verse 2, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. I tried to reach them Jews, and they said no. And so I'm crying out, behold me, to a whole other crowd of folks. That's you and me. Hallelujah. But if God hadn't included us in that, we'd all be lost sitting here tonight. We'd have no hope. But I'm glad that verse 21 says, But to Israel, he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You know what that tells? You know what the application is there? God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He gave it to the Jews. He spent thousands of years giving it to the Jews. I mean, he spent some time with them folks. You know why? Because he's their people and because he can. But then after a while, they kept saying no. By the way, you keep telling God no about anything, and pretty soon he'll stop bothering you about it. Well, he's long-suffering, but he's not going to suffer forever. But the Bible says that he dealt with those Israelites until finally they crucified his own son. And even in the book of Acts, that book of transition, he still tried to reach those. He gave them one more shot even after that. And they rejected. They arrested Paul. And they, if you read about all those disciples and how all but one were martyred, all but John were martyred, killed for their faith by both Jews and Gentiles. All but John. John was exiled to Patmos. God has always reached. So I'm glad when it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes us, but he's still saying that to the Jews. A Jew that gets saved now is just as much a part of the bride as we are, because they're New Testament converts. But how will they hear without a preacher? How will they hear without a witness? Come on, folks. Amen. He said, well, I'm retired. I don't work anymore, so I don't have the same sort of contacts. Listen, you come in contact with somebody every single day. Every single day. So at least you can do is give them a track. That's easy. Or say, hey, I go to Anchor Baptist Church. Do you go to church anywhere? Now, when you ask them that, they're immediately going to tell you yes. You immediately say, where? And they start trying to visualize a church they passed on the way home from work. And then they'll say, oh, I go to Anchor Baptist Church. Really? Who's the pastor there? Now they got to try to remember if they read my name on the sign. And if they did, you know they're not going to say it right. I've actually had them make up names to my face. And I never got ugly and said, you liar. I didn't do that. Boy, when I got the car, I did. But you know what? That's because they're blind. They're in darkness. They don't have any hope. They have no hope. Thank God if somebody will just give them the gospel. Folks, I'm telling you, we must commit to that more so than ever, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. There's no question that Jesus is coming. All this nuclear stuff going on, all this intrigue around the world, and the Russians and the Chinese and the North Koreans and the Americans and all that. Listen, I'm telling you, someday somebody's going to push something. And it'll be on like Donkey Kong. But then what? Now you know what they're doing? They're selling survival packs. Now they're saying, man, if you don't have 6 months worth of water and food stored up, and for $999, we'll send you all the food and water you'll need for your survival pack. Listen, I'm not worried about surviving. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And if Jesus comes back, I'm going anyway. So I don't have to worry about all that stuff. But I tell you, there are people living right now in our own families who possibly could be here after the rapture and have to live through the awful torments of the judgment of God upon this world. because they rejected Jesus Christ. Now, if they reject Him, it's their fault. But if we don't tell them, the Bible said their blood will be required at our hands. God's going to say, you didn't do one thing to help them. You didn't do one simple thing to help them. Let's get out here and tell folks about Jesus. Amen. Father, we love you and thank you for this time together. Such a joy to open up the Word of God. I so enjoy doing it.
And Lord, I do not claim to be the best teacher, but I know the best teacher. His name is Jesus. And through the Holy Ghost, I hope He has spoken through these words and used these lips to be an honor and a glory to Him. We love you and pray for the invitation moment in Jesus' name. Amen.